Right now, it is time to bring in the master of disaster, and that is our good friend Jim Lynch. And Jim, of course, joins us every week at this time. He is an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, sports, and a ton of other things. Good morning, Mr. Lynch.
And Happy New Year before we start.
Yeah, Happy New Year.
Wait. Good morning. I must address that comment by my master, Marshall Miles. The only time I became the master of disaster, which was frequently as a grocery boy, getting the order wrong. Anyhow,
you didn't take that onto Wall Street, though, right?
No.
Good.
The grocery boy. I was 15.
I understand.
I wasn't 22.
Okay.
Anyhow, a very happy new year to our Jewish brethren, and frankly to everyone who listens or is nearby. I always choose to take advantage of all the great beginnings of new years, such as the Jewish New Year, because it's life, it's hope, and we need to acknowledge the ancestors of our Jewish brethren who have survived so long in some pretty difficult situations, to say the least, which leads me to 9/11, which we've survived. 9/11 is the day that the World Trade Center was hit 17 years ago, and we picked ourselves up, and we got back together, and we are stronger now. In some ways, militarily, economically, probably culturally, than we had been. Unfortunately, we have had in the last several years some problems arise in terms of the political front. A divisiveness, by the way, which everybody takes a shot at it, why are we so divisive? Polar opposites in this old, good old world called negative and positive, and that exists among human beings as well. So it's not unusual that individuals will express one or the other. But what's happened, in my opinion, is almost a direct result of the crisis, the financial, you'll pardon the expression, disaster of the 2007-08 area where Lehman went bankrupt and AIG went out, where basically the banks, our U.S. banks and our foreign banks, were cheating individuals out of their money by lying to them. That has never been addressed. It has never been addressed that the big guys in our world society took advantage of the little guys. They were never punished. They committed crimes similar to someone taking a gun and holding up a store, but they did something worse. They took the trust of the average person and screwed them to the wall. And I think that's in the psyche of many people, those who are very aggressive on the negative side and those who are just somewhere in between. Because when justice is not served, there is something that prevails that it takes a long time to go away. And it's not just mistrust. It's just a dislike, a disdain for those who've hurt people. So maybe if we reflect more on that, I don't know that we're going to do anything about it now. We might get ourselves back to center square, not be a Republican or a Democrat or anything, but try and get rid of that terrible, terrible angst that I think is about us. Also underscoring it was the fact that we went to war illegally in Iraq by lying about weapons of mass destruction. What that set in place was all kinds of violence throughout the Middle East, which has obviously influenced the consciousness of everybody who's thinking, and in our case, our American brethren. So the point is, we've got to tell ourselves the truth. We can't BS ourselves. And that leads me to our kids. We can't BS our kids in terms of what's going on. They have a great democracy, and it's being besmirched by people who are greedy, who are stealing. The current administration, the individuals in it, have been stealing from us through using the office of the presidency to sell hotel space in D.C., in Florida, and elsewhere, and God knows what other crimes were allowed to be committed by Cohn and others. That said, the key here is to be aware of what's going on, to put your political hat aside, and as a citizen, really get with the truth. One of the biggest things to come out of the Woodruff book and interviews that he's done and so forth thus far, and there's a lot more, we really are, according to him and the feeling he's gotten from people he's been interviewing, we are really at tremendous security risk because the current president either doesn't want to understand, doesn't know how to understand the way the world works, the way allies work, and is prone to be sloppy and try and be the big shot by saying something he thinks he knows. We are in a national security crisis. Wake up to it. There is somebody who is deranged, who can put his finger on the bullet button if Mathis and others do not grab him first. So that's it for me for the Mo.
Well, I look at the way things are going in this country, and it's a sad state of affairs when you have to rely on basically an editorial, an anonymous editorial. Now, thank goodness, along with that anonymous editorial, came out a book from a respected
person. A book
is
coming out today.
Yeah. And the great thing about the book that's coming out today, whether you like him or not from his Watergate days, is he's done a book on every president. This is not just a book on Donald Trump. He has done books on President Obama, on both Bushes. He has done books on them all. And so you can take that book that is coming out today and team it with the editorial and then make your decision where you stand. That editorial standing alone has impact, but it has more impact when the book comes out by Carl Bernstein, right?
Woodward.
When that book comes out today. I mean, that this book will be a catalyst for a lot of different things.
Very well said. I want to remind us all that Bob Woodward with Carl Bernstein as young investigative reporters, hardworking, taking a lot of risks, because if they were wrong, they would have killed their career as in journalism. But they were right. They had a great editor who supported them. They were the main catalyst to begin the end of Richard Nixon. Now, in this instance, Woodward will not be the main catalyst of the end of Donald Trump. The main catalyst for the end of Donald Trump is Donald Trump. Donald Trump, the day he fired Comey, set in motion all of the things that have happened since regarding his presidency. He has continued to do what he always does, double down, never admit failure. He's number one. He knows everything. Well, it's a shame he did it, but he did it, and he's going down. He is the one who allowed Sessions to appoint a special counsel, as well he should. He was doing the correct thing. But instead of embracing it, he immediately started beating up on Sessions for not having recused himself, showing his ignorance of the way the rule of law works in terms of officials. Now, that leads me to something which we better really get ourselves, one, knowledgeable about and ready to handle, because it's coming our way, and it's the Russians. I've grown, frankly, to be more concerned about the Republicans than the Russians, because the Republicans, many in this country, are up to their eyeballs with allowing themselves to be influenced for whatever reason, money, politics, friendship, by the Russians. The latest report on the lady from Maine, named escapes me at the moment.
Sue Collins.
Sue Collins is indicative. Her husband has been involved with the Russians, with agencies, with businesses for years and years. And that helps explain why going from a stance of okay on abortion, about a week ago, she started mumbling, oh, well, maybe it's not too bad. Now she's back mumbling, well, Kavanaugh, who she has to vote on possibly as early as Thursday for another Supreme Court justice, well, you know, he's not been telling the truth. Which gets me to Kavanaugh, who has been lying through his teeth. Not strange since Trump appointed him. Along those lines, and this, most of his information is in the internet, whatever, okay? I'm not daydreaming it. But the head of the Senate on the Republican side basically told Trump not to appoint Kavanaugh because they were going to have trouble getting him through. There were 25 other people that had been suggested by the Federalist people. He chose Kavanaugh. He chose Kavanaugh because Kavanaugh has been very outspoken on abortion. He's against it. He's been very outspoken on the president can't be indicted. He's been very outspoken on pardons in terms of the president can do what he damn well pleases. However, it doesn't stop with Sue Collins. Rand Paul has been a fellow traveler with the communists for years, the Russians for years. All of this is documented on the internet. There's a society whose name I forget right now, but people like Kavanaugh and the young up-and-coming right-wing Republicans have all been involved with us, as well as Jeff Sessions. This fellow Rohrabacher in California has been a pawn for the Russians for years. He's the first one to introduce cutting sanctions to Russia. So when this comes out, and when Mueller comes out with his findings, I have a feeling we're liable to see a few more people indicted with the Republican label than Donald Trump. But we have to, Woodward really did a great job in terms of trying to raise our awareness to the fact that we have a national security problem. The Twitter and this and that, we have someone, and this has been confirmed by a number of people now over the last week and a half, who are speaking out more and more, by a president who wanders around the White House during the day, engaging people who are trying to work, and then getting involved in conversations about Hillary and Obama and this, that, and the other thing. I'm delighted that Obama came out. I'm delighted he put it in this way. He said he did not approve the op-ed. Rather, he said, we have a problem in government where we have the people who are supposed to support the president basically trying to move them around issues on 10% of the important things, saying they are protecting us, while I'm allowing him to get away with the tomfoolery on 90% of the stuff he does. Korea, North Korea is back in the spotlight. We're going to have some meetings. I thought we had a meeting. I thought we were safe. They're still producing nuclear. We know that from independent bodies. And now, as a source of distraction, we're being told, we're going to have another meeting. Please, Mr. Trump, don't embarrass the United States of America again. We look like damn fools showing up for some short, fat guy who does nothing for us. On the international front, Syria, Trump is now begging the UK and France, who he's been beating up on economically, to help bomb the Syrians, since the Syrians are now using chemical weapons. Where is Trump's great friendship with Russia? Russia is killing people, children, the rebels in Syria. Why can't he get a peace out of the Russians? Well, the Russians yesterday and today and for the next few days are conducting the biggest military exercises they've done since 1981. 300,000 soldiers, 30,000 tanks, aircraft, ships. And who's helping and involved in those? It's China. It's China. You know, China is taking our socks off in so many different ways, and our president is allowing it to happen. You know, if you want to do something, do something. You want to do tariffs, do tariffs. I hope he does tariffs, frankly, because I think on a short run we'll have a recession, and it'll help get rid of some of these Russian Republicans.
Well, I won't call all Republicans Russian Republicans, even though they do call them red states that they lead.
Oh, you clever devil!
But that goes back to Jim. That's I think Tim Russert. I think he's the one that came up with the blue and the red and that and the magic marker that famous night many years ago.
Oh, wow. His whiteboard.
Yeah, it was his whiteboard.
But that was before, when people actually wrote.
Yeah, it's using
their hands in a magic marker.
What's interesting to look at this whole scene is the people who aren't making the news and the headlines and who are operating because of all the fanfare, basically untethered. What's his name? Stephen Miller, is that his name?
Yes.
He is dictating a lot that goes on, and it goes on. And because there's so much fanfare thrown up in the White House, he goes on a day-by-day basis forming the policies that you're talking about. What I see is a Republican Party, and what's the problem to me with a Republican Party is what's the problem to me with the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party does not want to embrace the progressive side again and bring back more progressive ideas. Now, progressive candidates are picking off standard liberal Democratic candidates one at a time in primaries and surprises. It happened in Connecticut. It happened in Massachusetts. It happened in four or five other states. What the problem is on the Republican side is that nobody... What used to be considered Republican is now considered a rhino, a Republican in name only, by probably 60% of the people that represent Republicans in the Senate and the House. And so the people that used to be the Republican Party don't have the say or wherewithal. Both parties have to get back to their political base, because it's much better when you have a Democratic Party and a Republican Party.
If you're going to have a two-party system, it'd be really interesting to
have different ideas that aren't all mixed in. And their different ideas come together through negotiation, not through strong-arm tactics like, okay, we have the majority, we're going to do this. We have the majority, we're going to do this. It used to be negotiating and tactful, and that in the 20 years has gone away. And as soon as the Republican Party and the Democratic Party get back to their true base of believability, our country will not get anything done. It will be a quagmire, because there's too many people that represent us in both parties that don't represent us. They represent getting reelected, and by forcing the issue when they're in office.
And I totally agree. And I would just like to add that once again, you know, I've said this to you about a million times. We only hear, everybody has been going to work and doing something. Everyone who has been elected, they've been going to work and doing something. We don't hear about that. We only hear about selected six or seven things that are happening and that are all disasters. So the day-to-day nuts and bolts of actually governing, we don't really hear about. And it's just important to remember that as you are processing everything that you are hearing about.
Well, I think this raises the very important issue of us.
We only have about a minute
left. Remembering and appreciating all the people in the federal government who work day in and day out serving us in various capacities. And starting with the Justice Department, how they have been belittled. I can imagine the morale of some of the people there. This is dangerous unto itself. But more importantly, the Justice Department has been working very well over the years we've been alive. They've done a lot of great things. They've done some poor things. But on the overall, they've done some great things. Most importantly, to your point, Jill, these people go to work day in and day out in non-rewarding, non-advertised positions, being faithful to service, faithful to the people in the United States. And they're not making a lot of money, and they're not creating a lot of economic opportunities because they basically do work which prevents them from taking advantage of that. When we hear...
Jim, we only have about, we only have about 30 seconds left here.
Only 30 seconds? Yes. I'm going to call my union.
That's right.
Anyhow, folks, this is the United States of America. We're going to get through this. John McCain told me so. And I believe him. God bless you and the kids. And keep those kids close. Keep them in touch with what you're doing. I love you all. Have a good one.
Take care, Jim. Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets here on Robinhood Radio.